Thank you so much, Tom. One of my favorite songs, The Lighthouse. I'm sure glad that in the midst of my storm, I saw that light come through. So praise the Lord for that. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 15 today. Before we do get there, I wanted to just share a couple of things with you. As you know, we do support Mission Dignity. And that is a ministry that supports retired pastors and mostly their widows. As you know, many pastors don't have high-paying jobs, and so when they go home to be with their Lord, this is a ministry that helps their wives, and we give to that. And they sent us a thank you note, and I wanted to share it with you. It said, thank you for your generosity to over 2,800 soldiers of the cross. Every dollar goes to meeting the needs of those retired pastors and their sweet widows. And so we want to thank you for giving to that and for helping help supporting those. Also, maybe you've heard about it, but if you haven't, in the month April and May, the Billy Graham Ministries are going to be here in the Maryland area. And on May 2nd, Franklin Graham is going to be holding a revival right down here at Fair Hills. Fairgrounds. There we go. We got it. They're going to be holding a revival down there. Franklin Graham will be the speaker, and there'll be a couple groups there. They're looking for churches to get involved and help them with that. I will be having a meeting on Tuesday with their leader from the evangelistic group for Franklin Graham. And so we will be letting you know of opportunities that you may be able to have to work and serve in that evangelistic event there. Maybe a counselor, just somebody to encourage somebody, direct people. But we'll have more information on that as to the different opportunity that's going to be open. I do know that right before it, they're going to gather people together in one church that are the volunteers. And we're just going to have a night of worship and praise to the Lord, and a time of prayer in preparation for May 2nd. And so I'll keep you informed as I find out more information about that. But what a great opportunity that we have as a church to be part of seeing people come to know Jesus Christ through that ministry. And so you be praying about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we'll get started. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the many opportunities that you give us to serve and worship you. We thank you that you brought us together here today as your people in this place. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we know that you are here with us today. And so, Father, we ask as we unfold the scriptures this morning that we would hear from you. The things that I say is not important. It's what you say that is important. And so I would pray for your guidance and direction to say the words that need to be said, words that will be pleasing to you this morning, words that will be encouragement to others that are here, maybe to give us strength and courage and maybe just to help someone through a difficult time today. Father, we just pray now as we come together, we worship you. We worship you in song and through prayer, but now, Father, we worship you in your word. So guide and direct us, and may your perfect will be done in every life that is here today, and also those that are watching us on Facebook. We'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled today's message, Bitterness to Sweetness, from Exodus chapter 15. I would assume that the word disappointment is in everyone's vocabulary, I'm sure. It has been said that all of us have probably had a dream crash down around us. The bigger the dream, the bigger the disappointment. Sometimes we're disappointed in people. In other words, sometimes parents are disappointed in some of the decisions that their children may make, or maybe an employer is a little disillusioned because he thought that person that he was hiring, that man or the woman, was the right person. They didn't turn out to be that type of a person. Or maybe you're disappointed with your boss on the job, you know. And other times there are just different people in our lives that, and quite frankly, we're just disappointed in them. Sometimes we're disappointed in our circumstances. Maybe you were not expecting a financial crisis you find yourself in, or maybe there's a particular medical challenge that you are now facing that you weren't expecting to face that, but you are. Maybe it's in a workplace where you expect to get a promotion, but somebody less qualified seems to be taking that position. So sometimes our circumstances disappoint us. But here's something that we need to think about. Sometimes we become disappointed in God. Now, none of us will stand up here and admit that. You know, we don't want to say that, but think about sometimes when people are praying about something and they don't believe that God's answered their prayer. I will say this to you this morning. If you're a Christian here this morning and you pray, God always answers your prayer. You may not hear it because that's not the way you wanted it answered, but he never leaves one of his children's prayers unanswered. And if you're not a believer today, the first prayer that God will hear from you is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But God always hears the prayers. But sometimes when things just don't go our way, I've been praying for that loved one for years, and he's never trusted the Lord. I was listening to David Jeremiah the other night, and he was sharing a story about a person that had prayed for another individual for 40 years before they come to know Jesus Christ. And he was emphasizing, don't give up on prayer. But sometimes we just are disappointed because God, things just aren't turning out the way they were supposed to. And so down deep inside, which we won't reveal to anybody else, we have a little disappointment in our hearts because God didn't do what we expected him to do. Now look at our scripture today. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and he went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And then he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the water. Now, as we pick up the story, remember last week the Red Sea had separated and they went across on dry ground and God had defeated their enemies. But now they're experiencing severe disappointment. If we were to read the first verses of chapter 15, chapter 15 is a song that they were singing in praise and worship to God for delivering them from the Egyptian army. And if you read that, they were singing with such exuberance that you might think they would believe God for anything. But their song soon turned to sighing and their music to murmuring. Trampling across the hot desert quickly reduced their water supply. And for 3 days, they looked for an oasis but found none. Imagine the hot sun blinding their eyes and the wind blowing the sand against their. One person put it this way, like a blasting furnace. Obviously, anxiety and worry was setting in. It was increasing. And just when they concluded that God was not interested in their suffering, there they was. There was the oasis. They saw it. There was the water. But when they went over and took a drink of the water, it was so bitter, they could not bring themselves to swallow it. God had led them to bitter waters. And so the grumbling began there. Why had Moses deceived them? Why was God bringing them to this place and bringing them to this place of disappointment? Why did he bring them to an oasis that he knew they would see it, and their hearts would start with anticipation, you know, looking to get that cold drink of water, only to be disappointed. And their minds better know a oasis than one brimming with undrinkable and bitter waters. Why? Why did God bring them to this place of disappointment? Well, if you look at verse 25, it says, there he made them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. You see, many times disappointments are brought into our lives, and the purpose of that is exam time. I don't know about you, but I used to hate exams in schools. I don't think I ever passed one, but anyhow, you know, I just, you know. But this was a time of testing. As we spoke about it a little bit last week, and we'll expound on it today, is the fact this was an examination time. He was going to see the degree of their personal commitment to him. It was a time to reveal what was in their heart. You see, disappointment reveals our character. It lets us see who we truly are. It holds a mirror to our face, and so that we can see ourselves, warts and all. You see, disappointments in our lives will either help us to grow in our faith or will grumble on anger and unbelief. It's how we face those disappointments, those tests that God gives us, that will result either in a growing in faith or turning to unbelief. Now think about this for just a moment. It was God who led them to Marah. They had not forged their own path through the desert. Every step that they took was under the direction of Moses, leading them as God was speaking to him. And now here they are, right in the center of God's will. Just where they were following the map that God had laid out for them, they encountered this severe trial, this great disappointment. God then would learn, they would learn, folks, this, you know, that God not only plans our successes, but he also plans sometimes our disappointments. He had planned their success in crossing the Red Sea. With the mountains on the side of them, the sea in the front, and the enemy coming, God parted the Red Sea, and they went across in victory. God killed them, killed all of their enemies. God was in charge of their success, but God was also in charge of leading them to the bitter waters. Now, I know that sometimes we are responsible for causing our own bitter disappointment. Sometimes the decisions we make, you know, the disappointments are because of our own making. But let me say this before I go further. Even are the disappointments in our lives because of something that we've done or decision we made, understand this, that God stands right there with you, and he's ready to help you through that time of disappointment. So, what does this teach us? What are we supposed to learn from this experience they were having? What are we to learn during our challenging times? The first thing I think we should see from this is that God uses our disappointments to test. It's a test, remember, to test our focus. The Israelites were focused on their own needs. At this time, they were not focusing on God. When the crisis came, the true heart of the Israelites was revealed. In a pinch, they were not so much thinking about God, but they were thinking about their own needs. Now, I put here in my notes, I'm not going to judge them too harshly, because if I went 3 days without water and I was in the middle of the desert, I'd be looking for some myself, you know? So I'm not going to judge them too harshly. The problem is this, is that their need of water was so all-consuming that they were not focusing on God. When we allow that disappointment or that trial that's come into our life to become so over-consuming in our lives, it causes us to lose focus on God. And when we lose focus on God, then we won't trust him. They jumped to the conclusion that God had abandoned them rather than thinking that he had something better for them. They came to the wrong conclusion. They erred in thinking that they did not have to trust God, after this great success. But folks, we need to realize this, is sometimes even if they're a great success, the disappointments might come. And here, they had an opportunity to trust God, even though they were at the bitter waters, but they focused more on their need rather than focus on the Lord. But they also had their focus somewhere else. You see, they had their hopes pinned in Moses. They were impressed with his leadership, which he had marked by a number of different miracles. They thought that he would always be there, come through for them. And now he leads them to this oasis, and they feel like they're deceived. Their adoration began to change to grumbling. They were blaming him, even though the circumstances were not of his making. He was just going where God told him to go. But here's the problem, folks. When we focus more on a person than God, you are going to be disillusioned in the time of your disappointment or that challenge. Now, I have I look at different people and try to have faith in different people, and a lot of people are very, very important in my life. But I have to realize this: focus needs to be on God, not Moses, not that person. I have witnessed over the years, I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I have witnessed and seen churches that have fallen apart because maybe the pastor has fallen into sin, or maybe God has redirected that pastor to another church. God does that sometimes. He calls a man from church to church. He might do that. And the sad thing is that the church is so focused on that leader that when he's no longer there, it falls apart. That's why here we need to make sure that we stay focused not on the leadership. We need to respect leadership in the church, but our focus here at First Baptist Church needs to be focused on Jesus Christ, on him. And then whatever happens in our church, the disappointments or whatever, we stay focused on him. They were looking at Moses when they should have been looking at God. If focus should be on Christ and Christ alone, he's the only one that is worthy of our hopes and our affection. David said in Psalm 62:5, he said, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him." Paul says, "If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth," folks. And here's the problem. They had lost their focus. They were focusing more on their problem, their thirst, than they were on the Lord, which caused them not to trust him. They were focused more on Moses than they were focused on the Lord. And so when they began to drink the water, they became angry. But understand this, disappointment is God's way of reminding us that sometimes there's things in our lives that we need to change. Even the Mars that we encounter in our journey, folks, are part of God's plan. And thirst is either going to drive you to God or make you angry with him. It's one or the other. When that disappointment comes, when that challenge comes that you were not expecting, that bad medical report or whatever it might be, or you know, you go to the store and find out eggs now are $42 a dozen, you know, whenever that happens, that's either going to drive you to God or make you angry with him. Nothing brings us out of the true state of our hearts than being deprived of what we think we need or what we want. And so the test, disappointment is a test to see where we're focused. Disappointment also is a test of our faith. So what do we do with the bitterness? This water is bitter. Lord, I can't drink this water. What do we do with the bitterness? Well, you go to God in prayer. In verse 25 and verse 26, whether the people believed in God or not, Moses sure did. Moses believed in God. And he showed his faith by crying out to the Lord. When complaints came against him, he did not try to defend himself. He didn't say, you know, I'm just doing what God told me to do. I followed God's GPS. I'm right where God told me to be. That's not what he did. When the murmuring came and the people had taken their focus off of God, he turned his focus to the Lord. He turned his focus to the Lord. And he took the matter to his master. One man wrote it, and we said a little about this last week. One man wrote these words. He says, though hounded by an incited mob, he looked up. We talked about that a little bit last week. He looked up. Listen to what another person has written. It says, prayer is a mighty power that is swifter than an eagle, stronger than a lion. Prayer puts us in touch with the resources of a compassionate and holy God. And when Moses started praying, I love this, a miracle started to happen. Think about that. When Moses began to pray, he wasn't complaining like the Israelites. He wasn't griping like the Israelites. He did what he was supposed to do. He went to the Lord in prayer. And the minute he began to pray, a miracle began to happen. Because if you look at the verse there, God told him. It says in verse 25, he cried out to the Lord, and God showed him a tree. God showed him a tree. God opened his eyes. And God told him to put this tree in the water. Just an ordinary tree. There wasn't anything special about the tree. What was special was the divine command. Put it in the water. And with a splash, the bitter water was made sweet. And the people were able to drink their fill and were satisfied. You see, God did a miracle by making a connection that defiled human reason. Throwing the tree in the water, folks, was just a symbolic act. Much like Moses taking his rod and waving it over the sea and things of that nature, there was no power in that rod. There was no power in Moses. God changed the waters of Marah simply because he chose to do that. And when Moses began to pray, a miracle began to happen. We need to understand and not forget that God is involved in all of our circumstances. Often God changes our circumstances in response to prayer. The promotion maybe you did not receive turns out to be a blessing, better than the opportunities. You had a better opportunity to come your way. I've heard testimony of that just recently. I think about this. The rebellious child comes home. I think of the prodigal son. You know, he goes out and he lives, takes all of his inheritance and he wastes it in sinful living. But yet every day the father went out on the road and he stood there looking for his son. I don't think he just stood there. I think he was praying for the father to bring his son home. I really do. That's what I believe. God knew the circumstances. God knew what was going on. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees that son walking down the road. God is involved in our circumstances. Think about the marriage that is having difficulties, but the couple begins to put their faith and trust in the Lord and together get on their knees before the Lord and begin to pray. And God puts that thing back together. So God often changes our circumstances in response to prayer, but sometimes God even does a greater miracle. Rather than change the circumstances, he actually changes us. He actually changes us to accept our circumstances. In other words, God changes our heart, enables us to forgive that person who has disappointed us. Maybe you've had a time in your life where somebody's just totally, really just disappointed you. But through the grace and the mercy of God speaking to your heart, you can look at that person and say, I don't want to hear that happen. It's over with. It's done. I forgive you. We're never going to talk about it again. We're never going to visit that area again. What has happened has happened. I forgive you. God changes your heart. God changes your heart. He gives us the ability to accept the sickness that we may be enduring. Sometimes he calms the sea. But sometimes he lets the storm rage. But guess what he does? He calms our hearts. Sometimes the storm is raging all around us and we're wanting God to stop the storm, but he doesn't stop the storm. But in the midst of that, he calms our heart. In the midst. See, our Mars are designed, folks, to make us better and not bitter. And so God causes disappointments to test our focus, and he causes disappointments to test our faith. God reminds us, God remains sweet even when our waters we are expected to drink are bitter. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand there are pleasures forever." And one last thing, this kind of builds on this last something that I said. God uses disappointments to test our faithfulness. It's a little odd, I think, there, just a little bit there in verse number 26. You see that God uses this occasion to talk to the Israelites about being obedient to his word. And he promises them there, if they will listen to his word and abide by his word, that he would spare them some of the diseases and the sicknesses that were brought upon the people in Egypt. Now, the book of Leviticus gives a great illustration to us about all the different regulations that regarded their eating, what they could eat, what they couldn't eat, so on and so forth. But God promised them. Now he didn't promise them that they wouldn't get sick and die, but he would keep them from some of the illnesses that the Egyptians had faced. But the question is this: in the midst of the disappointment, would they be faithful to the word of God? Would they be faithful to the word of God? I mean, the test is to test and see where our faith is, and will we continue to be faithful to the word of God? Now, we know that God doesn't always heal people. We know that. We know that one day we will be, our bodies will be healed completely one day when we get our resurrected body. I hope they change a few features myself, you know, But until that time comes, we wrestle with the flesh, and we're always going to wrestle with the flesh until that time comes. God does heal our sinful hearts, but, you know, we're never going to be complete until we reach heaven. But we understand this: where there is darkness, he shines the light, and where there is a wound, there is soothing oil. But the bottom line is this: will we be faithful to his word? Will we be faithful to his word? God changed the bitter water into sweet water. And then he calls upon them to be faithful to what he tells them. I want to wrap it up this way, folks, by saying this. There are two important trees in the Bible. Two very important trees in the Bible. The first tree is of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate it, all of history became bitter. All of history has become bitter. Sin contaminated everything from that time until now. And you and I have felt the poison of sin, not only in our old souls, but have you seen it around us? That was the first tree. But there's a second tree. And the second tree is known for its blessing. It is a tree that reverses the curse of Eden. It is a tree which absorbs the curse of sin and purifies the water. Let me share a verse with you from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I know I marked it, but listen to verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ on the tree was cursed that you and I could be blessed. The poison of sin was neutralized and healing was made available to all who will believe. It's interesting, when Jesus was on the cross, the tree, he was offered wine mixed with myrrh. If you do a little research on the wording, that word myrrh is the word myrrha, which means bitter. But Jesus refused to take it. Why? Because he wanted to suffer, and he wanted to experience the suffering and pain for our sins. He didn't need that myrrh that they gave him, would give them, was supposed to numb the pain of being crucified. But Jesus said no. He spread his arms out and he suffered and died for us on that tree, and he absorbed every bit of the pain that comes from sin. So like the tree used by Moses, think about this. Moses threw the tree into the water and it became sweet. Like the tree used by Moses, it takes life with all of its bitterness, and it makes it sweet. Because of the cross, we can bear fruit. The fruit of righteousness because of the crucified, our crucified Redeemer. Sin is our most threatening disease, folks. But the cross, it is the cross that makes the bitter waters sweet. Our sins are forgiven. Our troubled conscience are at rest. He speaks the word that we might be cleansed and be made whole. The Bible says he heals the brokenhearted. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. He counts the numbers of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Think about this. The God who has named every star in the heavens heals your soul from the tree, from the cross. One man said this. I loved it. He said, the promises of God that we find in his word are the bandages that God uses to heal the wounds of his people. Just think about that. When you're facing that challenge, that disappointment, you just understand there's a promise right here in this book that God will use to put a Band-Aid on that wound. All of this healing anticipates the future and the final healing of redemption one day. At the end of the bitter waters, folks, we're going to be made sweet indeed. But I want you to look at verse 27 with me, and I'll close. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the water. Next to tomorrow, folks, think about this. Israelites came to Elim, where there were 12 springs, 70 date palms, and the thirsty Israelites discovered that, listen, there was one spring for each of the tribes. Not an oasis with bitter water, but God, after he gave them this lesson and test them, he led them to a place where each one had their own source of water, and they all took part of the fruit of the palm trees. And so, folks, there's a tree. There's a tree today that can make your bitter waters sweet. There's a tree that can take your disappointments and help you to understand that there are God's appointments and God wants to bless you. From bitterness, there is sweetness when we allow the Lord to take control of our hearts. The closer you are to God, the more quickly you will get from your Mara to your Elim. And so, today I want you to understand this, folks. Please understand this. That God is in control at every part of your life. That's the blessings, that's the challenges, and yes, that's the disappointments. And when that challenge or that disappointment comes, realize this. This is what God is doing. He's testing your focus. Are you focused on him or your needs or someone else? Your focus needs to be on the Lord. The second test, he's testing your faith. When faced with the impossible, do you go to God in prayer, trusting him to direct your path? You see, how you respond gives an indication of where your faith is. How do I respond to this? It's a test of your faith. And then it's also a test of your faithfulness. Will you be faithful to the word of God? Will you be faithful to the word of God even when it doesn't make sense? Even when you're going through something that just simply does not make sense, will you still be faithful to his word and allow him to lead you on your journey? Listen, folks, no matter where it takes you, will you be faithful? And the key to all of this, folks, is a tree. Not a tree placed in the water, but a tree that stood on Calvary over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died in your place to give you life, eternal life. And the only thing that can turn bitter water into sweet water is the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't we trust him today? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. And we thank you, Father, for the peace and the comfort that we can have in the cross. Yes, we're going to face bitter times. Yes, we're going to face disappointment. Yes, we're going to face challenges. But may we, Father, pass the test. May we stay focused on you. May we allow that circumstances to grow our faith. May we just be faithful to your word. That is our prayer this morning, Father. But our prayer is also, Father, maybe there's somebody here today that their life isn't real sweet. Maybe it's bitter. Maybe they've not come to that point in time. Like Tom sang about, Lord, the lighthouse, where the light shined and it rescued them from smashing against the rocks and being destroyed. Father, there is a light that shines, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if someone is here today that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, our prayer today is that we'd give us the opportunity to take your word and share it with them. I'm here, and Pastor David is here. Others are here. Maybe you're watching on Facebook. The phone line is always open. We'd ask you to call today. Maybe you're here today. God has spoken to your heart. Maybe God has challenged you in some way. Maybe you're looking for a good church home to join. You need to be baptized. Whatever the need might be. This is a time where we respond not to me, but to God. And so, Father, we'd ask you to have your perfect will in all of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with us as we sing.
Human Invitations 434. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, none go with me, I still will follow. No, none go with me, I still will follow. No, none go with me, I still will follow.
Chris, if he'll close us in prayer.
Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you again for this time this morning, and we thank you for the words from Exodus talking about turning bitterness into sweetness. And we just pray, Lord, that as we hit those disappointments in our life, that we will turn to you first and foremost, Father, and we will seek your face and your direction and your guidance to get us through. We pray, Lord, that you be with us as we go. Bless us and allow us to be a light to others. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.